Welcome. Glad you're here this evening, and I trust that our time can be a profitable time. One of the things that has been on my mind lately is how much I make God look small. I think this whole current situation with the virus and all of that stuff, the riots, everything that are going on around us, has made me realize how often in my day-to-day life I make God look small. If I'm talking to somebody and they start talking about current events and I start mumbling and grumbling and complaining and saying how this is wrong and that's wrong and on and on like that, I am making God look small. When I praise, when my heart is full of gratitude and thanksgiving, and praise is on my face, praise is on my lips, people look and they say, "What's going on?" They know that something is happening. Over the last year or so, I felt like the Lord told me that when I am asked, "How are you?" that I should answer, "I am very blessed." And I've tried to do that. I don't always do that, but I've tried to do that. And the other day I was talking with one of the main people that I do business with, and he said, I told him, he wondered how I was. I said, "Very blessed." And he said, I like that. He said, "I've been putting that to use in my own life too." And I said, "Thank you, Lord. I did what you told me to. I made you look good. I like that." Now, as I was thinking about all of this, a number of things were running through my mind. But I decided to talk this evening about the God of abundance. And before you start throwing stones and saying I'm a healthy, wealthy, wise guy, just hold on. Hold your stones and see where we go with this. How many of you have ever known of or heard of somebody who lived in a shack by the side of the road, wore clothes that were tattered and worn, and you'd have thought they had not a penny to their name, and when they died, somewhere in their house or in their possessions somewhere, people found out they were very wealthy? Any of you ever hear stories like that? Know somebody like that? What was the problem? What was the problem? Why were they living as a pauper when they could have been living like a king? Or at least a prince? What was the problem? Okay, possibly there was something with their mind that they didn't recognize or realize how much wealth they had. What else might have been the problem?
Insecurity.
Okay, insecurity. They might have been afraid. They might have had the mentality that, man, I'm going to need this when I get old, and I don't want to touch it. Because it might get all real fast. Okay, they might have thought that if somebody saw them looking like they had money, somebody'd think they did have money and they'd come take it. Could have been a number of things. I think that we, at least myself, and I don't want to point at you, this is for me. I think that we tend to listen to the lies that Satan brings to us and tell us that we don't have available to us what we think we have available. How many of it have you have ever struggled with the thought that this is too bad? God's going to have trouble with this one. I don't know if he can really forgive me for this. Any of you ever struggle with that? Some of you have. Well, let's just look at that this evening. Let's think about that. What this picture, I just want to talk about this picture a little bit. I found this picture, and it represents to me abundance. You remember Abraham? What did God tell Abraham about his seed? It's going to be like the sand of the seashore, innumerable. Would you say that God promised Abraham abundance of family? Absolutely. Now, go forward a little while, and Abraham doesn't have any family yet. God said, your family's going to be like the sand of the sea, and Abraham has none. Zero. And he's 99. Well, this was a little before 99. But his wife comes and says, Abraham, plan A is not happening. Let's try plan B. And so Ishmael was born. And God says, no, no, Abraham. That's not what I'm talking about. Your seed is going to be like the sand of the sea. And it's going to be through Isaac. And you're going to have a son. What was the problem that Abraham struggled with believing that his seed was going to be like the sand of the sea? Abundance. The problem's obvious, right? What was it?
Unbelief.
Well, he couldn't see anything, right? It did not look like it was happening. But you go forward a little further, and God says, you offer Isaac to me. And Abraham goes up there on the mountain, puts his son on the altar, lifts the knife, ready to slay his son, because he knew that God was able to raise him from the dead. What had happened? What changed in Abraham from the time that he couldn't picture the abundance that God promised until the time when he was able to take that by faith? There was a lot of things happen. But let's just look at some of this here this evening. What is abundance? If you were going to describe abundance, what would you call it? Oh, by the way, did anybody hand out the notes for the kids? They're back there. If somebody wants to grab them, pass them out. What is abundance?
More than needed.
Okay, it's more than enough. You know, we get a little rain this time of year, and we have a quarter inch. We had a rain. And if you get a rain, that's good enough, right? Well, yeah, it's good enough, but it doesn't last very long. But a few weeks ago, we had 3 inches at our place. Well, that's abundance. That's our ground can only hold 2 inches in the top 2 feet of soil. So we had abundance, more than enough for the need. So when we talk about abundance, we are talking about something that is beyond what's needed. So enough is enough, but abundance is beyond that. So is abundance wrong? Is it wrong to have more than what's needed? Okay. We can share. Is it wrong? Some of you are shaking your heads no. Some of you don't look like you know. Okay. Maybe there's some qualifiers that go with it. Okay. Okay. It wasn't wrong to get 3 inches, was it? Okay. What would you like to have in abundance? If there was something that you could choose today that you would have that was more than enough, what would it be? Something for you to think about. And then what should we do when we have abundance, and that was already mentioned, we can share. When we have more than enough, we're able to share. Alright? Now, let's just look at this. This is directly from Scripture, and I want us to notice something as we look at this. This is all talking about God and areas of abundance in Him. And I want us to pay attention to things that are not part of the abundance. I'm not going to really talk about that much. I'm going to talk about the abundance, but I want you to be thinking as we look at this, what are things that we often speak of a lot about God that are not mentioned in the Scripture as being things of abundance with God? And let's just pay attention to all of these things. Now, number one, abundant life. I find this very interesting. Over in Genesis chapter 1, when God created everything, there is one group of things specifically that He says, you go and bring forth abundantly. That's in verse 20. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Why do you suppose God didn't say this to anything else? I don't find Him saying this to the grass, the trees, the planets, the darkness, the daylight, to animals. Only to the fish and the birds. And did you notice that He created the birds from the sea? From the water? He said, you bring forth abundantly. Tom this morning mentioned this. I really appreciated that thought. He mentioned the fact that God gave life, His life, to Adam. And that life has passed down to all of us abundantly. And Jesus said that there in John chapter 10, verse 10. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. How do we have life more abundantly? God wants us to have abundant life, more than enough, beyond our needs. So we live, we have breath, we have heartbeat, we have, you know, the things that we need to live. But are you experiencing, and am I experiencing, abundant life? Jesus came so that we could. That we could have life abundantly. I've been interested over the last several days. I've gotten some recent updates from some friends in Athens, Greece, sharing about the work that's happening there. And people that are alive, but they experience abundant life, and their lives are changed through Jesus. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So he's saying, more than enough, more life, right? Not just life, but more abundantly, and then more abundantly, more. And so I find that so interesting. God's intention, God's heart, God's longing for all of His creation, human creation, is abundant life. You know what? You and I are not going to find abundant life in filling our minds with the news trash that's going on today. That's going to suck the life out of us. It's going to make us discouraged. It's going to make us despondent. It's going to make us rebellious. It's going to make us something other than abundant life. If we are going to find abundant life, we're going to find it in Christ. That's the only place. All right. Secondly, peace. Why do we as Christians, as God's people, struggle so much with peace? We get our minds in turmoil. We get all stirred up either by anxiety or by frustration or by fear or whatever, and our peace is gone. Is it because God doesn't have enough peace for us? Or what's going on? I want us to notice, and I want us to especially notice this, that God has an abundance of peace. So if we're lacking peace, it's not God's problem. God has an abundance of it. Psalm 72, verse 7. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. I like that. Abundance of peace as long as the moon keeps shining. So if you find out the moon is gone, then you can figure your peace is probably going to be gone too. As long as the moon keeps shining, he has abundance of peace. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. One of the things that struck me here a while back, as I was praying through the alphabet like I do with God's attributes, was this word abundance. And I didn't get very far in the alphabet that day. But I started thinking about this. Just a number of scriptures started coming to my mind. And thinking about the God of abundance. He has so much there for us. It's like we're hungry. And we're wandering around, we're trying to find food, and we're just stirring in the dirt and eating whatever we can find. And just down the road, there's this storehouse with all the best food. And all we have to do is go there and present the name of Jesus. And we can have all that we need and more. And that's the way it is with this peace. goodness and truth. Exodus 34, verse 6, you know that that's been a favorite verse of mine over the last while. But notice how he says this. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. The thought struck me some time ago, and I think I've shared this, that you and I have got to have it fixed in our mind that God is good. He is good. Bottom line. Whatever happens to us, whether we're sick, whether we're well, whether we're poor, whether we're rich, wherever we are, whether we're persecuted or whether we're free, whatever, God is good. And He is filled abundantly with goodness. And so when we think about God, we need to think of Him in this way, that He is abundant in goodness and truth. And that is just so big. Because when I start thinking, allow the Holy Spirit to start moving in my heart, in my mind, and I start thinking about the goodness of God, it's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. It's the goodness of God that gives us opportunity. It's the goodness of God that does so many things for us. He's abundant in goodness. Way more than enough. Way more. Grace. We're going to look at grace and mercy. People get so nervous when you start talking about grace. Why? Why? What could we do to help ourselves when it comes to salvation, when it comes to God? What could we do to help ourselves? Nothing. The psalmist talks about this. Could I give my firstborn son? Would that satisfy God? Could I offer all of my sons, all of my children? Would that satisfy God? Could I crawl on my hands and knees on a bed of spikes for miles? Would that satisfy? No. There is nothing that we can do. The only way that we can come into the presence of God is by the grace of God. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. And He has abundance of both of those. And I've been so impressed as I look through the scriptures over the last while at all the things that come to us by grace. God has abundance of grace, more than enough to give out to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So here's God. He gives us what we don't deserve, and it bounces back as glory to Him. That's what that verse is saying. Through thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 1:14. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. His grace was exceeding abundant. Again, there's that more. You know, it wasn't just more than enough. It was way more than enough. Way more. God's grace, God's gifts, the things that God hands to us are way beyond what we can even ask or think, what we can imagine. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now, pay attention here. That you, me, us, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So, God has all this grace. And as we come to Him and we receive that grace, that gives us sufficiency. It gives us the ability to abound in every good work. It's because of God's grace. That abounding, abundant grace that He has there gives us the opportunity and the ability to abound in every good work. God's grace, abundant and free, sufficient for you and me. A lot of songs have been written about that. We sing, pay attention in our songs, we sing about that a lot. Mercy, God's abundant mercy, 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. By His mercy, He's begotten us. Do we deserve to be children of God? No. We deserve to have the result of being children of the devil. We deserve that. But by the abundant mercy of God, we are able to become His children. We're able to be adopted into His family. You might be wondering when I'm going to get back into Ephesians. I plan on doing that shortly. I just felt like we got detoured here a little bit. And some things I felt like the Lord wanted me to share. But go into Ephesians chapter 1. We're adopted, we're accepted, we're called, we're chosen, we're given gifts, we're given blessings, we're given power, we're given His Spirit. Just overwhelming what He has done for us in Jesus Christ by His mercy. Psalm 86 verse 5, Thou Lord art good and ready to forgive and plenteous, or same word, in abundant in mercy, unto all them that call upon Thee. His mercy is abundant. He's good and ready to forgive. Daniel chapter 9, verse 18. Daniel's praying. And he says, Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes. Behold our desolations. And the city which is called by your name, we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for your great mercies, your abundant mercies. What was the difference between the publican's prayer and the Pharisee's prayer? The publican was calling on God. Was calling on God. The Republicans need to call on God for mercy too, same as the Democrats. The publican was calling on God for mercy. The Pharisee didn't need mercy. Lord, I thank you. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like this guy. I'm not like this guy. I'm not like this guy. He was doing exactly what this verse says. He was coming to the Lord because of His great righteousness, he thought. And Daniel said, God, we're not coming to you because of our righteousness. We're coming to you because of your mercies. They are abundant. They are more than enough. They are huge. I don't know. Think about that a little bit on mercy and grace. How much mercy and how much grace does it take to deal with the 7 billion people in the world today, let alone the ones that already lived? That's a pretty big pile. And he's got more than enough. Kindness. Joel chapter 2, verse 13. Rend your heart, not your garments. Turn to the Lord your God. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of abundant or great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Turn to the Lord. He's of great kindness. His kindness is just more than enough, way more than enough. How many, I'm curious, just, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'd just like you to just think about this in your own heart. How often do you think of God as kind? I don't think we do very often. I don't, like I should. We often think of God as maybe a little bit on the harsh side, maybe a little bit on the tough side. We often fail to think about his kindness. Jonah, I get such a kick out of this because he's so much like us. Jonah chapter 4, he's sitting there and he's all mad. God didn't destroy the Ninevites. And he's there up on that hill in the sun and he says, I knew before I went, well, even before I ran off to Joppa, I knew that you're a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger. And of great kindness, abundant kindness, and repent of the evil. Jonah, you want to get a mirror? Why are you here, Jonah? Why are you not gone in the bottom of the sea? Why are you not in some other trouble? Why aren't you sitting here with boils all over your body and paying for all this stuff that you did and didn't do? And Jonah's all mad at God because he says, God, I know you're a God of kindness and it makes me mad. Your kindness is abundant and that makes me mad. And sometimes we kind of act like that too, don't we? God's kindness is abundant. God's pardon is abundant. Here in Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. President Trump just pardoned somebody the other day. And it seems like either you're pardoned or not pardoned. You're either still sitting in jail or you're pardoned, right? So what is abundantly pardoned? I'll let you think on that one. God's abundance is beyond our imagination. Ephesians, again, chapter 3, verse 20. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's how far his abundance reaches. That's the scope of his abundance. Exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. How big can you think? How big can you ask? God is able to do abundantly above our imagination. The Holy Spirit. How much of the Holy Spirit do you need? How much do you want? Enough to get me through this message? Enough to get me through this situation? Enough for this or that? Look what he says in Titus 3, verses 5 and 6. This is the last part of verse 5. He's talking about the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. One of the things that you notice when you read through the book of Acts, you read over and over again, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So if he filled them with the Holy Spirit, and then he filled them again with the Holy Spirit, and then he filled them again with the Holy Spirit, when did he run out? God. Did he stop filling them with the Spirit? How often have you asked to be filled with the Spirit? How often have we longed for that? How often have we desired that? Are we once and done? That's good enough for me? So why does God give us the Spirit abundantly through Jesus Christ, if all he wants to do is have it once and done? Just some questions for us to think about. God's dependability. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God was not only willing to display and reveal the mystery of salvation and of Jesus Christ over the years through Paul and through others, but he says that he was wanting, it was his desire, it was his plan to show more abundantly the immutability or the unchanging character of his promise. When you think of the promises of God, do you think of changeless, rock solid, something you can depend on always? Or do you think of his promises as, well, he said that, and yeah, maybe it might work. It might not. I'm not sure. He was willing to go to more than enough abundance to show the unchangeableness of his promises. So we read back through Hebrews 11. And we see that those that trusted in his promise found hope. They found courage. They found strength. They faced the mouths of lions. They faced being sawn in two. They faced all kinds of things. They didn't see the promises, but they believed them, and they stood on them, and they knew that it was reality. No matter what it looked like around them, no matter what they felt, they stood on the immutability of God's promise. He had showed it to them. And his desire is to show us the immutability of his promises as well. So as we walk in his promises and trust in his promises, he shows us even more the immutability of those promises. And we grow. And we learn. And we trust. I just like to ask you this question again before we close. What about God? What of God's attributes? What of God's character have you not seen in this list of abundance? I'm not saying this is exhaustive, but I think it's important for us to get a hold of this. When God over and over and over speaks through his word to us of what is abundant with him, I'd say that's where we need to be focusing our attention. Not that we don't regard any other part of his character, but it's obvious to me that God is saying, look, here's where I want you to focus. Here's where I want your mind to dwell, your heart to dwell. Here's where I want you to press into and to long for and rejoice in. And find blessing in. My God is a God of abundance. He has there's just many examples. Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. King, you can do whatever you want to. Our God is able. He has abundance of ability. We don't know what he's going to do, but he's able. And because he's able, and because he's God and he has abundance, we're not going to bow down, King. It doesn't matter. You can burn us in the hottest fire you want. It doesn't matter. Because the God that we serve is a God of abundance. There's one other one just comes to my mind here as I close. He'll give you abundant entrance into his kingdom. Not sure where that reference is right now. That just popped into my mind. He'll give you an abundant entrance into his presence, into his kingdom. So he's a God of abundance. And we as his children, as king's kids, need to live in abundance. I'm not talking about monetary. I'm not talking about possessions. I'm talking about spiritual possessions. I'm talking about, not about material possessions, about spiritual possessions. We need to live as people that have abundance. He'll supply our every need according to his riches in glory, the abundance that he has in Christ Jesus. Let's stand together for prayer. God, we bless your name. You are abundant in goodness and truth. You're abundant in grace and mercy. You're abundant in peace, in the unchangeableness of your promises. You're abundant, Lord, beyond what we can ask or think. And you've chosen in Jesus Christ to share that abundance with us. Help us, Father, as we go from day to day, that the lies that Satan brings to us might not cause us to live in poverty, in want, in need. But Lord, that we might come before your throne of grace, that we might find an abundance, and that we might live in that abundance so that it can bounce back in glory to you as our hearts overflow with thanksgiving for that abundance. We glorify your name. We lift you up, for you are worthy, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.